So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
At this time on Tuesday, we check in with digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Social media can be overwhelming, many considerations, so many platforms, and Scott helps us make sense of it all. Scott, good morning. Of course, we've got X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, and that's just scratching the surface, really, isn't it?
Yeah, good morning, Bob, and you're absolutely right. But luckily, there are things you can apply across the board that make all of these platforms less daunting than it seems.
Sounds like a good idea. Let's start with the basics and the more casual user, because we'll get to the business side of things in a bit here, too. But first, how does someone who just wants to stay connected approach social media?
It's a great question. For casual users, I always recommend starting with one or two platforms that feel the most comfortable and relevant to your needs. So, for example, Facebook, as most people know, is great for staying connected with friends and family because it's where you share your life updates and your photos and events. But if you're more interested in like visual content, pictures of your grandkids or hobbies, Instagram could be a good fit.
And that's comforting to know because it means you don't have to be everywhere, do you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's a lot of pressure to do just that. At the end of the day, it's really all about finding what works best for you.
What about people who are curious about TikTok? Good idea to jump on those as well?
I would say it depends on your interest and how much time you want to spend learning something new. So you mentioned TikTok. It's very video focused and it can be a lot of fun if you enjoy short and entertaining video clips. And it's not just for young people. There's a growing community of older adults that are sharing content as well.
And by the way, is it true that Facebook now has become grandma and grandpa's social media platform?
That is really what it is being called. Yeah, it is really skewed older for sure.
I remember this coming up before. Just because you're on social media doesn't mean you have to participate in creating content for it, right? It's okay to just browse, isn't it?
It is totally fine to browse without buying anything. So, you know, sit on the sidelines, however you want to think about it. There's lots of people that do just that. You know, education, it's also a big part of social media. I mentioned that TikTok is not just for young people. People of all ages learn important and cool stuff from TikTok. And it's just one of the many reasons why politicians are all over TikTok. They want to reach and educate certain audiences.
And then when you mention politics, we need to talk about misinformation and disinformation. We've talked about that with you before. Remind us quickly about the difference between the two. And it is important in this context, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So misinformation is false or inaccurate information that is spread not necessarily with the intent to deceive. It's often due to misunderstanding or a lack of knowledge. But disinformation, on the other hand, that's deliberately false or misleading information that's spread with the intent to deceive or manipulate. And you're right about all of the above. You know, we have to be mindful, and it is very important because, unfortunately, you can't believe everything you read and see. And that's why employing those tips about Googling things and fact-checking, all of that stuff still matters. But in general, if you have content from well-known sources, that's likely to be your best bet for avoiding misinformation and disinformation.
So true. Good advice. We'll talk about business and social media, and we'll open up the Genius Bar coming right up with Scott Kleinberg. Social media strategist Scott Kleinberg talking about the various platforms and what you need to know. Let's shift gears, Scott, to small business owners. They've probably heard that they need to be active on social media to succeed. But with all these platforms, where do you start?
It's a good question, and this is where it gets really strategic, Bob. So for small business owners, the first step is identify where your audience spends the most time. If you're in a business where visuals are key, like a restaurant or a boutique, or you own the design service, for example, Instagram should definitely be a priority. or professional services, LinkedIn could be more effective. The goal is to focus your energy on the platforms that give you the best return rather than spreading yourself too thin.
And talk for a minute, Scott, about the importance of posting video or pictures of some kind. And also, you need to keep everything short, too, if you want some traction, right?
Yeah, those are important things, and they're all important together because that's how the algorithms work. The algorithms favor things that are visually appealing. They favor things that are short because they know that we have short attention spans. So when you put those things together, those things tend to do better.
And as far as businesses, especially small businesses, you don't have to be on every platform, do you?
That's exactly right. It's quality over quantity that's crucial here. It's better to have a strong, consistent presence on one or two platforms than to be scattered across five without making an impact. So if you think about where your customers are and what kind of content they engage with, then you can best showcase your business.
And this always comes up. How often should you post? What should the frequency be? And how does it differ depending on what platform you're talking about?
It's an excellent question, and it's one that I get a lot because the frequency does vary by platform and business type. So, for instance, on Instagram or Facebook, posting a few times a week with high-quality content, that's usually sufficient. LinkedIn, maybe just you post once or twice a week. But, you know, those posts should be more thoughtful or industry-specific. Now, on TikTok or X, where things move quickly, you might want to post more frequently, maybe even daily if possible. But again, it's about consistency and engagement. You don't want to post just for the sake of posting.
Yes, good advice. But what if someone is not comfortable creating content? Is there a way to make it easier? Business owners are already busy. Not everybody's up to speed on how to do this.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. If you don't have a staff or someone to who can devote time, remember this first. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. A lot of people really want to do that. Start by sharing content you already have. So photos of your products, testimonials, maybe a behind-the-scenes look at your business. You can also share articles or posts from others that relate to your industry and add your own thoughts to those. And there are tools out there, like there's Canva that makes creating visuals easier if you're not a designer. And you could also consider batching your content. That means you set aside a couple of hours each week to create and schedule posts so you're not scrambling to do it every single day.
That sounds like a good tip. Any final thoughts on this for either group here, casual or business?
I would say the most important thing really is to enjoy the process. You know, social media should feel like a way to connect. It shouldn't feel like a chore. For a casual user, it's about staying in touch with loved ones and exploring your interests. For small business owners, think of it as an extension of your brand and as a way to build relationships with your customers. And here's another piece of advice. Don't be afraid to ask for help if you need it. You know, it could be from a friend, a younger family member, or a professional.
Good advice. Hopefully people will not feel overwhelmed now. And if all else fails, hire a 9-year-old to help you, right?
9-year-olds know so much, and you know, there's definitely a happy medium in here somewhere for sure.
All right, let's open up the Genius Bar, and this is an interesting question that has come up, and I don't know if this is just iPhones, but you call someone and it's not someone who has you in their contacts, but your name can actually come up with your number, can't it? So the question is, is what I'm saying accurate? And if so, is there a way to go to your settings and somehow make it so people can't see your name?
First of all, you are accurate. I wish there was a simple way to turn that off so you can't do that. But what you're actually seeing when you see caller ID is it's a name and a number that's part of a database. But the problem is there isn't one central database in the world for all cell phones. There's all these different databases, kind of like there's different credit reporting companies. You know, they all have different information. The different caller ID companies have different information. So you may see your name one way or your phone number another way. Mm. Now, you mentioned iPhones. The interesting thing about a phone is if you have someone in your contacts, you will pop up the same way in the contacts. And you may have seen something, it's not really new, but it's more recent, where on a phone, it pops up and it says, maybe Bob Surratt. You may not be in the contacts, but if you've actually texted that person before, or you've appeared in an email signature with your phone number, the phone might try to match the information to give you some more accurate information in your caller ID information. It's an interesting world how those two things really do intersect, but they don't at the same time.
Yeah. All right. I think I got it. Scott Kleinberg, thank you. And a reminder, if you've got a question for the Genius Bar, email us or text us. And you can text us at 312-981-7200. Email bobshow@wgnradio.com. Thank you, Scott. Have a nice day.
You too, Bob. Thank you.